So Parshas Bishalach starts off, Vayi Bishalach Paro is on. When Paro sent out the people, V'lo Nochem Elokim Derech Haaretz Plishim Ki Karovu, Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow them to go through, not the Palestinians, the Philistines, through Gaza, because it was too close. Ki Amar Elokim, Hashem said, maybe the people are going to get so upset when they start seeing that they're going to have to fight wars, and they're not used to fighting wars, they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. Now, if you go in a roundabout way, they're not going to be able to find their way back to Mitzrayim. But if you go in a very straight direct, in a very straight path, they'll know exactly how to get back, and they'll start getting scared, and they'll run away. We don't want that. Okay, what's Bishalach all about? What's the ikar behind Bishalach? The Yamsuf, Kriyat Yamsuf, and Oz Yashir, the Shira that's sung by Bnei Yisrael, without a question, it all goes into, it's right after everything that starts, it just goes into Kriyat Yamsuf. There's so many strange things that happen at Kriyat Yamsuf. I'll give you something from Hallel. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. The sea saw, and it ran away. Hayardin Tisa Lachar. The Jordan River as well, when Bnei Yisrael tried to come into Eretz Yisrael, Tisa Lachar, it turned itself away. I understand. The Yam Suf split. Why did the Yam Suf split? Because Bnei Yisrael had to go through it for the Mitzrayim to be drowned in it. That's really the reason why everything split. But the Pasuk says it, and this is Tehillim, remember, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. The sea saw it, and it ran away. What did the sea can't see anything, and I'm sorry for such a bad pun. I didn't mean to make it that bad. But what is it? The ocean can't look at something. The ocean has no feelings. It's not like the ocean is saying, like, should I split? There's nothing there. The sea doesn't have anything there. There's no mitos to that. There's another pasuk. V'amayim lohem choma miminam umismoam. The water was a wall for them on the right and on the left. So the medrashim darshan. Hamayim lohem chema. The water became angry at Bnei Yisrael. You guys deserve to be split for. You guys are ovdei avodah zarah. They're yelling at them. You're ovdei avodah zarah. The water can't get angry. When's the last time you saw water get angry at you? Or like you're drinking a drink and the water slaps you in the face. You know, the water can't do that. So what in the world does it mean that the water got angry? Now last year, I went into a whole big thing about Bechira by animals. Whether or not animals have free will. Not in this week's Parsha, but in another week's Parsha. Is there free will by animals? And the Rambam says clearly no free will by animals. Animals have to do whatever they're told and that's it. But there are so many times where we see that animals make their own decision. Like Bilam's donkey, for example. The Nachash is a good example. The Tzvardiyim, the frogs in Mitzrayim, in Parshas Va'era, the frogs chose to go inside the ovens. They jumped inside the ovens and killed themselves to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The frogs chose to do that. So anyway, there's no Bechira by animals. So from that, it's on the bottom, Reb Reuven Margolius Tainas, that there is Bechira by animals. There is Bechira by animals. The Rambam says no, but they do have free will. They do have free will. But I understand. Even if you say animals have free will, because they can live, a sea? What, a sea of has feelings? A sea can talk? We're not talking about like a feel-good movie. Like a little cartoon where like the table talks. Oh, what's that movie? Beauty and the Beast. Where every part of the house is like jumping and running and dancing and singing. And then when you leave the core at night, the tables will still be tables. They're not jumping around and having a good time. They're not having a party. The Toy Story, very good. Toy Story, it's not happening. It's just that's not what happens. So what does that mean? I'm very positive. I put out videos. I have videos. By the way, the typical answer that's given is that the malachim of those objects are the ones that are making decisions. For example, the malach of the sea, the angel of the sea was saying, don't let them pass through. The angel of the frog said, jump into the oven. The angels had that free will, so to speak. The angels got to choose. But that in itself is a question. Angels have free will? When do angels have free will? No angels have free will. So what in the world does that mean? That in itself is a big question. I saw something in Rav Schwab, and it took me apart, and then I added on another Rav Schwab to it, then I added a third Rav Schwab to it, then I got a fourth Rav Schwab. And well, one after the other, just one thing flowed right after the other. It's unbelievable. And there's always pshat to a medrash, by Ayam Ra Vayanos. So what is it? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the world, it's very, very clear that every creation that he made had its own das, was able to make its own decisions. I'll give you riot after riot from the first 6 days of creation. First day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the sky and the land started expanding. And it kept going until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, die. Stop. And that's the name Shaddai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should stop. Wherever you are, just stop where you are. Don't go any further than that. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to let them go any further. What do you mean they went further? Could I possibly just tell them, you're like this? Because the sky and the land wanted to do something, and it kept going out. That's number one. Number two, you just said it, the moon. I should say number two is actually on the third day before the moon and the sun. The grasses. There's all these different types of grass on the ground. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, I want desha. I just want grass. But the grasses came out with all these different types of species and different types of grasses that you've never seen before. All different types of weeds and this and flowers and everything. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, I want one type of grass. I want blue grass. You know, I want bluegrass throughout the entire world. But the grass made a kal v'chomer. If they're trees, there's so many of them, then us as well, we should also be very many. And they split up into different types of grass. Since when can grass make a kal v'chomer? Since when does grass do such a thing? Number three, the sun and the moon, we know about their famous machlokas. That the moon went up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have two leaders at the same time. One of us is going to have to become the leader, and the other one's going to have to be toppled to the other. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, fine, you make yourself smaller. The moon's not speaking. Moon doesn't talk. Number four. That's not the first three. Number four. The fruit trees were punished because they didn't make the bark taste like the fruit. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the bark to taste like the fruit, but the fruit trees didn't refuse to do it. They were punished. The land, when Adam Rishon sinned, the land was cursed. The land was cursed. The Nachash, could there be a bigger raya? The Nachash convinced Chava to eat from the tree. The Nachash convinced her. Not a person. The Nachash. Since when do animals have the chira? Since when can animals say something to themselves? So listen to how he says it. He's unbelievable. In that time of the 6 days of creation, all objects, whether inanimate or life beings, chayos and behemos and everything, everybody had their own das, their own knowledge, and could choose their own way of being in this world. And if they chose correctly, they were rewarded like the grasses. If they chose wrong, then they were punished like the fruit trees and the nachash. They could choose one or the other. But on the seventh day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, all das was taken away from those creatures, and it was never put back into them. It was taken away so that they can't make any other decisions. Their nature was set, and there's nothing else they could do from then on. Similar to human beings. Since we ate from the Eitz HaDaas before Shabbat started, we have ingrained within us the ability to sin. Had we not eaten from the Eitz HaDaas, we would have been naturally good, naturally perfect. Nature would have set itself on Shabbat. Shabbat Hashem would have rested, and everything would have been done. There'd be no more creation within a person. You wouldn't be able to create evil within yourself. And so too with the creatures. If the creatures would have done everything good, their nature would have been set, and nothing else would have happened. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, and they already had made that decision, that was it. Nature was set. Mother Nature was brought in. And that was it. And if they did it well, then they'll go to Olam Haba. But if they did it badly, then they won't get their Olam Haba. They'll be punished in some way, shape, or form. But there are times afterward when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that das and he puts it back into those objects. You know when that is? At a time of Nisim. When miracles are happening, and I'm not referring to you, Nisim, although that was another bad joke. At a time when there are miracles happening, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it back into the mind of every creature, whether it's alive or inanimate, and allows them to choose how they want to be involved in this nace. How do you want to be involved in this miracle? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to want frogs to go jump all around Mitzrayim, the frogs were given das. And they said, do whatever you want. They told the frogs, and the frogs could choose. Do we want to jump on the Mitzrayim? Do we want to jump inside their houses? Do we want to make loud croaking sounds? Do we want to jump in their ovens? They were able to choose that. They were able to choose what they wanted to do. There was more. During Arba, each thing was able to decide which way they wanted to go. During Makas Bechoros, the Klavim decided not to bark. They decided not to bark. Why? Because they wanted to be rewarded. And it was rewarded. All our Nevelos go to the dog. We have to throw our Nevelos to the dog, from we see from a pasuk later on. The rock by name Ariva. When Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to talk to the rock chose to pick itself up and walk away, says Rashi. It's an unbelievable thing. The rock didn't want to be involved in such a Chilul Hashem. So the rock picked itself up so that Moshe wouldn't hit it and ran away the other way. Moshe Rabbeinu had to search for it. When a nace happens, these animals are given a choice. And so too with the donkey of Bilam. And the donkey of Bilam had das to answer back Bilam. Bilam said, I never use donkeys. I always use, you know, very important horses. And the donkey said, no, you always use me. And Bilam said, well, maybe once in a while. Donkey said, all the time. And Bilam said, yeah, listen. He's answering Bilam. He's having a conversation with him. To talk, that anything could do. That is, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu put it in. But they have das to be able to decide what to say back to Bilam? What was that? That's a pshat. And so to over here with the sea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave das to the sea. I want you to decide, do you want to split for Bnei Yisrael? And the Yam decided, well listen, I don't really want to sit for Bnei Yisrael, a split for Bnei Yisrael. They're sinners. They do wrong things. They're worshipping a Avodah Zarah. Why should I split for them? Tell me a good reason why I should split for them. And then the Atzmos Yosef came along, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik came along, and the sea said, oh, for such a tzadik I'll split. And that's Hayom Ro Vayanos. What's up, Lali? No, but that's Hayom Ro Vayanos. That the sea saw. What did it see? The Atzmos Yosef. Because otherwise it wouldn't have done it. It had a choice to do it. I'm sorry, what?
Seesaw.
No, oh my gosh. We are making the worst jokes ever. But let's think for a second. Okay, so it saw the Atzmos Yosef and it split. But why not split? Why wasn't it going to split? Because of Avodah Zarah?
What's the
shot behind that? There will be Avodah
Zarah?
It doesn't want to mess up with the natural order of things. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to split, you're not going to listen? You have to come up with a taina? It's a, no, come on. There will be Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu told the sea to split. And the sea wouldn't. So, well, what's going on? What was the sea thinking? It's an unbelievable word that he said, that Rav Schwab says. The sea is chock full of the most unreal creatures you've ever seen. All you have to do is look at those. I'm not condoning anybody watching these things, but you know what? This I am. What the heck? National Geographic or Discovery Channel, when they have these specials on like the bottom of the ocean, when they show those things down there, and you see these creatures that don't belong in this world. Mamas don't belong in this world. These huge things with like little lanterns in front of their head. But the, what are they called? They're called, what's it called? The anglerfish. Very, very good. The anglerfish that they put a little thing in front to like catch fish. And the teeth, like, they're the biggest teeth you've ever seen. Literally, like, they're this big and they got teeth like that. The most unreal creatures you've ever seen. Oh, yeah, it's in Finding Nemo? I don't remember. But, by the way, yeah, how many other things can we mention over here? And just these creatures, sea slugs, these crabs. These little things, like I go to these. I love saltwater fish. I love saltwater fish, and I just they had a big sale, Super Bowl Sunday sale last week, and I ran over to this place, and I went and I started looking for things. I saw this hermit crab that was purple and green and orange. It was all the colors of the rainbow, all over. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen before in my life, and it was a sea hermit sea slug. It was the most unreal thing. They're sea cucumbers. It's a sea cucumber that moves. The vegetables in the sea move. You're saying, like, the algae moves. They grow. Everything's alive down there. It is the most unreal place that you can't imagine. And we can't see down there. It's, like, totally murky. The biggest creature in the world is the blue whale. Did you know that the blue whale is 2 times the size of the biggest creature in the world? How can the world... The sea is full of these things that just don't make any sense. These huge sea squids, these huge sea octopuses that they say that they're so huge they just can't find them because the sea is so huge and they can tell when something comes down. Same way, you know, there's no real pictures of a blue whale. Nobody really has a picture of a blue whale. No real pictures of them. You can only see them from the side, from like a little bit of it, because blue whales are able to figure out when there's a camera in the water. Nobody has any idea how. They don't have any real pictures of it. Check out these National Geographic, and you will never see a full moving picture of a blue whale. You see, like, sometimes you might see a passing part of its tail or something. You'll never see a full blue whale. They don't have any. They have no idea how to get them. It's the biggest creature in the world. 150 tons. You can't imagine how big it is. And they can't find it. Can't find it. So it's an unreal thing. The sea is full of the most unbelievable thing. You know what the pshat is? Hasapanim roven chasidim. Sailors, most of them are Hasidim. What's Pshat? Because they see these things. And they're one enthralled by it. How weather can change in a second. Literally in a second. It's like Chicago times 5. But it's just like in 1 second it could be like clear, calm, blue skies and a huge storm. They're like rocking back and forth. And you won't know until like the last second it will all of a sudden be a huge storm. So upon them, they realize that the sea is a place where anything goes. Whatever wants to happen, God can let happen. The kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed in the sea. It's revealed in the sea more than anything else. That's why Kishuf doesn't work in the sea. Magic cannot work over the sea. If a magician stands on a boat and tries to do magic, it can't work. It can't work. It doesn't work. Because the sea is a place where nothing happens. Hema ro maisi Hashem beniflosa. The Tosek in Salem says they see the wonders of God. The stuff that God does in the sea, it's not like anything else in the world. Everything that we have on land has a counterpart in the sea, except for one creature. Meaning there's a horse, there's a seahorse. I don't know, whatever it is. There's a cow, there's a sea cow. I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but whatever. except for one creature, the chulda, the weasel. Why doesn't the weasel have a counterpart? Because the word cheled means nister, hidden. You can't have anything hidden in the sea. You can't have such a creature in the sea. The pshat on chulda is that it's always hidden, you can never see a weasel, the weasels only come out of their holes when, you know, whatever. That's the pshat behind it. In the sea, there is no such thing. Because we are out on the land. Can't really see anything. But when you go inside, the things are right there. You just don't know where to go. You don't know how to get there. It's huge. Absolutely huge. That's what it means. But there's no such thing as chelid. The Rukamar Rosh Hashanah is all that. And that's Yam's purpose. The whole taklus behind the sea being in this world is to show the kavod of Hashem and to show you unbelievable things that you had never seen before. Unbelievable things. So the Red Sea, by the way, with all the coral reefs that are right there by the coral, by the Red Sea, looked up at a Kaddish Baruch Hu and said, why should I break my job of showing Kavod Hashem for a suffix Kavod Hashem of the Jews possibly being affected by it? Kill them and treat them some other way. Why should I lose my job? My job is a vadai. I'm vadai showing the honor of God, the glory of God. People look at the sea and they're affected by it. By me splitting, I'm going to make it into dry land. Dry land takes away from the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why should I do that? Why? How can I take away from the kavod of Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this kavod that I'm about to do is worth you splitting. What's going to happen right now... is one of the greatest things to have ever happened. It will be one of the greatest miracles of all time, and therefore it's worth you splitting for that reason itself. But when Bnei Yisrael went through the sea, it still was the sea. It was this dry land on the sea. So what happens? Bnei Yisrael on a level that they had never gotten to before, and we will never have again until the times of Mashiach. They saw the Yad HaGedola of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Makos was just a finger. They saw the full hand of not only Din, of Rachamim, of Gedola. Gedola is referring to Rachamim. They saw the merciful hand of God coming down and helping them out. They saw the Kisei HaKavod while they were in the sea. Saw the Kisei HaKavod. They saw at the sea more than any other Navi ever saw. Even at Har Sinai. Har Sinai was nothing in comparison to Kriyas Yam Suf. Nothing. Har Sinai was a tremendous thing. But nothing in comparison to what they saw in the Yam Suf. Why? Because they were in the middle of the Yam. And they saw clearly Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly the Kavod of Hashem. By Har Sinai, it took them 40 days. 40 days to sin. To do something wrong, to do the Egel Azov. By the Yam, 3 days. You know why? Because something on land affects you a little bit more so that the effect lasts a little bit longer. But if something in the sea, as soon as you get back on land, it becomes so blurry and it's as if it never happened. It becomes like a dream. It becomes like a dream. You can't even imagine it happening. And in that period of time, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the most unbelievable things happen. The most unreal changes in the entire world. From then on, Kishuv no longer had the power that it originally had. Why? Kshafim originally had the power. If a guy did magic, he could originally, when he did it, he could go against the gezeira of God. So to speak, I'll give you an example. If a guy murders somebody, is that going against the gezeira of God? Is that going against what Hashem wants? So, yes and no. Why? Because the person was supposed to be killed, but who says you were supposed to shoot him? Who says you were the one who was supposed to do it? So you still get punished because you didn't have to be the one. If God wanted to kill him, God could have killed him in any way. You're going against the Gzeirah of Hashem. So too, before the Yam Suf, Kishuv had the power, magic, had the power to be able to do whatever it wanted. And even if a Gzeirah of Hashem was out there and Hashem said, I don't want this to happen, Kishuv had the power through the Satan. It was so powerful that it could override that Gzeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to do so. Now within this world, Kishuv had the power to override his gezeiros. And only in Mitzrayim were the magicians so powerful, they were powerless, I should say, which they couldn't do anything during the Makos. But beforehand, before that, Kishuv had the power to beat gezeiros. But at the Yam Suf, that all stopped. All Kishuv was, they were able to be Makash Pamalya Shomala. They were able to go up against the Beis Din Shomala and Malach, but it couldn't go up against God. What happened? What changed to make everything different? And by the way, that's the pasuk of Nachum Kisacha Me'oz. You set up your throne at that time at Oz Yashir. Your Kisya Kavod was set up in such a way that no one can go against you. That no one can do anything against you when it comes to magic. Now, you got to hear this board. This is, honestly, this just makes it unbelievable. It makes it worth living. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf that had never happened before? Never happened to a single Jew in Mitzrayim. All of Mitzrayim. But it did happen by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So one thing that changed. Nobody in Bnei Yisrael was Moser Nefesh. Nobody had given up their lives for God. Avraham was willing. He threw himself in the Kivshan Esh. Yitzchak was willing by the Akedah. Yaakov was willing by going to Lavan. By going to Lavan and going to Esav and facing Esav. He's willing to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But until that point, anybody in Mitzrayim, nobody was Moser Nefesh. If somebody would have said to them in Mitzrayim, do you want to, you know, I'll kill you if you don't, I don't know, break Shabbos or whatever it is, whatever mitzvahs they had, or I'll kill you if you don't, I'll kill you if you do mitzvahs milah. I'll kill you if you do mitzvahs milah. So they said, all right, I won't do mitzvahs milah. I won't do mitzvahs milah. I don't want to be killed. They didn't care. They didn't want to give up their lives for mitzvahs. They want to give up their lives for God. So at Kriyas Yamsuf, they said to themselves, what's going to save us? Mitzvahs Nefesh is going to save us. So what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? What did Nachshon Ben Aminadav do? He got up and he threw himself into the sea. You think Nachshon Ben Aminadav knew how to swim? He didn't know how to swim. He walked into the sea until he couldn't breathe. His mouth was covered, his nose was covered, he's sputtering in the sea. And at that moment, when he's willing to die, the whole sea split. Nachshon Ben Aminadav was Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. That was something that nobody was able to do up until that moment. Nobody had ever done it. Nobody ever thought about it. The koach of Kishuv comes from Ovrei Aveiro. From those people that do Averos, there comes a koach to all this magic. A koach that you can't believe. But there's a koach by mitzvos that destroys Kishuv. So when Nachshon Ben Aminadav was Moser Nefesh, and Bnei Yisrael went into the sea and were willing to be Moser Nefesh when they all went inside, that caused all of Kishuv to be thrown down a level. It used to be they were able to beat the Gezeros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, they can only beat the Gezeros of Beis Din Shomayla, of the Malachim and Shemayim. But if Hashem makes a Gezera, they can't go against the Gezera. Nobody can move against that Gezera. Says Rav Schwab, every time throughout history, when Bnei Yisrael was Moser Nefesh, something else in the world, some type of tuma, was bottled completely. Some tuma was gone from the world. I'll give you an example. He gives four examples. Unreal. Number one, Korban Bayis Rishon. When Nebuchadnezzar came and Nebuchadnezzar came and started killing the Jews and told the Jews, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop doing mitzvahs. But Israel were willing to kill themselves. The Kohanim continued doing the Avodah as they were slaughtering them in the Azara. They continued doing it. Some guy dropped whatever it was he was carrying, another Kohen would pick it up until he was killed. Then another Kohen would pick it up until he was killed. And they kept going. They were Moser Nefesh to do the Avodah while they were being killed. While they were being killed by the Babylonians. They were willing to do that. When that mysterious Nefesh happens, a tremendous rash happened in Shemayim. And from then on, there wasn't a single Navi Sheker. Not one false prophet. No false prophets from Bnei Yisrael were allowed from that time on. There were still Nevi'im. For the next 70 years, they saw Mordechai, Hanani Mishael Azariah, Chag Zechariah Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah. There were still tremendous, tremendous Gedolim in Nevi'im. But there was no Navi Sheker. Not one Navi Sheker. Not one false prophet went through Klal Yisrael. Because this took away the power of the Shadim to prophesize to people and make people prophesize the wrong way. Number two, during the Crusades came along, people were Moser Nefesh. The Crusaders came by and said, convert to Christianity or die. And the Jews said, we'll die. When they were Moser Nefesh like that, the Baalei Tosfos were born. The Baalei Tosfos lived around that time, and it's famous. You ever wonder, Shadim have no power over us anymore? The Shadim lost their power by the time of Rabbi Elazar Migarmiza, one of the Baalei Tosfos. Sefer HaYashar. I knew you would ask me that question. Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar. Rabbi Elazar Migarmiza, everything was all lost. Everything was all lost. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, the Shadim don't have the koach to do anything anymore. Before then, they had the koach to form into human beings. They could be shapeshifters. They were able to affect human. They were able to go into base Batei Midrashos and be mevatel people from Torah learning. They were able to just shake you a little bit. They'd hurt you a little bit. That's what Shadim had. As soon as the Baalei Tosfos came along and there was Mesiras Nefesh from the Crusades, it gave them the ability to mevatel the power of all the Shadim. And we no longer have the power of the Shadim around us. The Shadim are completely gone. During the Inquisition and Tach B'Tat, that's when the Beis Yosef and the Zohar came along. The Ruach HaTumah from all the land. And now, Tach B'Tat, where the, I guess I could say the pogroms, about 400 years ago, is around the times of the Tosfos Yom Tov. And they just went through all of Russia and parts of Eastern Europe and just decimated all the people. During those times, 1590s, about 100 years after the, Khamenei is normally how they put it down. Tavchas and Tavchas. We're in now, Tavshin Samach Tes. So it was about 350 years ago, 380 years ago. So Tach B'Tat, 380 years ago altogether. Either way, regardless, that was that. The final thing was, look at now it is. What happened at the Holocaust? People were mostly Nefesh. What happened? Has there ever been a time where we've had more yeshivas in the world? Yeah. There's never been a time like this. We've never had this many yeshivas. This many kolon, of this many people learning all day long. There's never been anything like it. When that happened, some type of tuma was mevatel. What tuma was it? We have no idea. Do you know how much tumult was being caused in America? There were no people keeping Shabbos. No people keeping Shabbos before World War II. Then all of a sudden, Rav Moshe came, Yaakov Kamenetsky came, Rav Gifter came, Gedolin came to America and started up whatever it was, and they made yeshivas. And all these yeshivas caused Americans to be able to start keeping Shabbos, start worrying about being Moser Nefesh. We have no idea what tumult was gone, but we're almost done. We're almost there. When Mashiach comes, it'll all be gone. There'll be one more Mesiras Nefesh that totally destroys the Satan completely. One more time where you're going to be asked to be Moser Nefesh, and then everything will be all gone, and we'll all be good. We're all going to be good. I'm going to have to skip a little bit over here. But you should know, that's what B'nai Yisrael were complaining about. Now listen to these lines. They said to Moshe, HaMibli Ein Kvarim B'Mitzrayim, were there no graves in Mitzrayim, L'Kachtanu L'Muz B'Mibor, now you're taking to let us be killed in the desert? Ma'azos HaSisa L'Nu L'Tzion B'Mitzrayim, what did you do to us? You're taking us out of Mitzrayim. HaLazad Dabar, should you find a way L'Kham Mitzrayim L'Emor? Didn't we tell you this in Egypt? Chadal Mimenu V'Navdos Mitzrayim. Stop it! Let us just serve here in Mitzrayim. He told one of our voters, Mitzrayim, who was saying about Midbar, it's better to serve the Mitzrayim as slaves rather than die in the middle of the desert. What are they talking about? Do they remember what it was like? It was a year ago. The Mitzrayim were destroying you. Are you joking? It's better for us to serve the Mitzrayim than go to the desert and die and enter the Mitzrayim? What does that mean? What are they talking about? Shad is the Maril says, unbelievable. The Avoda in Mitzrayim, the service that they served God in Mitzrayim, was a service that was so easy. What did they do? They worked all day. They didn't have time to sin. They didn't do anything else. All day long they were working. They had no time to sin. So when they got home at night, they went straight to sleep. There was no Arias. No Arias in all of Klal Yisrael. No Lashon Hara. Didn't have time for Lashon Hara. No time. Honey, what happened at work today? I'm too tired. Unbelievable. These people are on levels beyond me. Didn't speak Lashon Hara at all. Didn't change their names. Didn't change their language. Didn't change their clothing. What kind of people are these? You think if we integrate with the Mitzrayim, maybe they won't treat us as badly. No! Who are you? What kind of a person are you? How did they get in the 49th level of Tumah? And that, I sort of said before, there are issues that they had, and we spoke about it in previous weeks, how they got in the 49th level. These people were holy beyond holy. Holy beyond holy. Now, yes, they had issues, and they thought that maybe there was a shtickle of Avodah Zarah in them, they didn't do the Bris Milah. There were issues with them. But Lamaisa, these people are Kedoshim. Kedoshim beyond Kedoshim. These people, 49th level of Tumah, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I'm on level 750,623. What does that mean? What? 50 levels. I'm in the furthest of the... What does that mean? It's a crazy level. You should know the Ma'or HaChaim argues, by the way. There's more than 50 levels. 50 levels are what you can survive with without the Torah. beyond that, but you still have many more levels right after that. But Bnei Yisrael said, simply put, and I just skip it around, but listen to these words. Ki tov lanu avodis Mitzrayim, it was easier to serve God in Mitzrayim, mi musenu b'midbor, than have to serve God in the desert. How do you serve God in the desert? Mysterious nefesh. By dying. We'd rather not have this abode of mysterious nefesh. Won't we have to die? Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, go into the sea. Be willing to kill yourself for God. Is God going to do a miracle for us? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. But who cares? Hashem wants us to go into the sea. People are sitting there, no. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'd rather go back to Mitzrayim and live there. What he's saying is, I'd rather do the avodah of Hashem while alive than do the avodah of Hashem b'suffik when I'm dead. I'd rather live than have mysterious nefesh. They weren't on the level of mysterious nefesh. They couldn't get there. And they said the expectations for us in the Midbar are way too high. We're not going to be able to do it. Nachshon ben Aminadav was the only guy who said, who cares? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be moser nefesh? What's our life worth living if we're not serving God in the way that He wants us to serve Him? And he jumped in, and he's willing to kill himself. He walked into the... He did not expect a miracle to happen. He walked in until he would die. He went in, and he covered his mouth, he covered his nose. At the last second before he died, the sea split. That's what ended up happening. It was Mesirut Nefesh beyond Mesirut Nefesh. When everybody else is saying, don't do it. Perhaps now we can understand upshot. How did the sea split? So everybody always pictures it as, oh, there we go. Here's the sea right here. And they split right down the middle. Went right down the middle. There's a Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Dalet, in Pirkei Avos. He's got a picture. How many times do you see a picture in the Rambam? The Rambam is a picture. You know how they went around? When they did the Kriyas Yam Suf, they went in a semicircle. 12 semicircles for all 12 Shvatim. They went to a semicircle. The Rambam is not a guy to go with Midrashim. The Rambam is a Parshat Shot guy. Parshat Shot. He crossed the river, crossed the sea. The sea split like that. They went straight across. No, the Rambam says. Nope. Semicircle. The Ibn Ezra in Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Kof Tes says, Bnei Yisrael walked in, semicircle. The Gemara in Erech, and it's a Tosfos. There's another picture. Unbelievable pictures. There's a picture. The Yom Tov, the split was like that. Shows a picture of it. The Chizkuni, another Rishon. He'll say, see, split like that. What in the world is the point of that? Why? Why? And don't you think the Mitzrayim would go like, maybe they're coming out there. You think they would say that? Like, they see them going in. She's like, wait a second. I think I know where they're going. You think they would travel there? Then Bnei Yisrael still had to be Moser Nefesh. What was their Mesirus Nefesh? Two things. They couldn't see where the split was going. They had no idea where they were going. When they were going in front of them, the sea kept splitting that way. If you had a sea split, you could see the land in front of you. So that's easy to cross. Oh, you know you're going to be okay. If there's a suffix, maybe the water will come down. But hey, come on, I can just run. I'll make it there before the sea split comes down. But if you're going in a semicircle, do you imagine the guys on the outside of the semicircle? The guys on the inside are like, they're fine. But on the outside, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they're going to snake through. Who knows what's going to be? They had no idea. And maybe the Mitzrayim are going to meet them at the other end. They were Moser Nefesh to walk in, even though they thought to themselves, they saw Nachshon Ben Aminadav, and they followed him. And through that, all of Klal Yisrael had Mitzrayim Nefesh. And they all deserved to have this miracle happen to them. And that's what ended up happening. Now, there is a shot, by the way, that the Mitzrayim is from the Bat Ayin, not the city, but from the actual Bat Ayin. He's a Hasidish Rebbe, that the Bat Ayin says that the Mitzrayim did go the other way. The Mitzrayim went in the other way, and they missed them. The Mitzrayim went one way, the Jews just went right past them, and the Mitzrayim never saw them. Jews are just running through, they just went around, and then the Mitzrayim realized, like, hey, did they just pass us? And they turned around, and that's when the sea came crashing down. Unbelievable Bat Ayin. You don't hear about Zion like that. But I'm going to end off with this. That's the pshat behind. It's at the end of the parsha. Every one of the sicknesses that you got in Mitzrayim, I won't put upon you. I won't allow you to have it. The Mitzrayim, whatever sicknesses they got, I won't put upon you. I am Hashem your doctor. What sicknesses they have in Mitzrayim? What did they have that we don't get now? Can anybody name one? The push-up shot is the Makos. The Makos won't apply to them. What, Jews don't have locusts? Jews have never been eaten by a crocodile? who's never been eaten by one? I mean, have Jews ever not had tasted blood at some point? The macros, you never had lice? There's lice checks all the time in school. You just say it like something. You don't have to, don't admit to it. And they, stay away from him. And like, the fact is, like, of course we have these macros. What do you mean we're not going to get these macros? We do. We have the macros. Our animals never die. Nobody gets eaten by a wild animal. Like, every macro applies to us. You don't get hit by hail once in a while. Maybe that's a little extreme. You know, that's a little extreme. But either way, like, you don't get stuck in darkness. In a dark room. Like, a current bulb automatically turns out the light for you. What does that mean we don't get any machlokes? Shot is, you know what the machlok was? Paro had a hardened heart. His heart was hardened. He couldn't choose to do something better. He was just going one way and he couldn't choose otherwise. He wanted to do good and he couldn't do it. Hashem wouldn't let him. Said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I won't let that happen to you. At any point in your lives where you think, I can't do it, Hashem says, you won't have that sickness. You'll be able to do it. I guarantee you, you'll be able to do it and you'll be fine. Guarantee you. That's called machler samti b'mitzrayim. Every machler that I put in Mitzrayim says the Chassam Sofer, I won't let that happen to you. You'll be okay. Because a Jew can always be moser nefesh. A Jew has it ingrained within him from our avos that we can always be moser nefesh. And that's why we never fight back. In the Holocaust, we almost never fought back. We have it ingrained within us. We want to be moser nefesh. We want to give our lives up. We'd rather give our lives up than fight. We'd rather do it. We'd rather do it. That's where we get it from. Some people are different around here. So you could be a little bit different. But the people are, in Israel there, it totally depends on the situation. That's what a Rav has to decide. You can't just decide it on your own. You got to have a Rav decide when it's time to be moser nefesh and when it's time to fight. When it's time to get up there and start fighting. By Hanukkah, they fought. By Purim, they didn't. They ended up fighting when they knew they were going to win. That's it. But by Hanukkah, they fought. There are times when you got to fight. You just got to realize when that time is. You got to realize when that time is. And that's the pshat band. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling B'nai Yisrael when they said, what are we supposed to do? We should have gone back to Mitzrayim. What did he say to them? Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You got to be Moshe Nefesh. Hashem Yilachem Lachem. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. He'll fight the war for you. You have nothing to worry about. You got to do ishtaglus. Okay, yeah. You got to do ishtaglus. You got to try. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight that war for you. All you have to do is be willing to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. If they're going against you spiritually and destroy your mitzvos, go up against them. That's the idea behind it. All right, guys. May we be zoicha to such mysterious nefesh in Klal Yisrael. We should be zoicha to be able to do unbelievable things and continue to do unbelievable things. Lots of love that should cause Mashiach to come to Meir V'Aminu. Amen.